today on Compassion Radio.
Because that journey took them out of the Promised Land down to Egypt.
Right.
They sojourned there for hundreds of years, and eventually it became something that was so codependent that they didn't realize that they had become slaves over time, and yet complained about the working conditions and wanted liberation, but then didn't want to leave because they lost all of their security. And all of that double-mindedness, being tossed by the wind back and forth, was the story of Israel for another few hundred years. Mm-hmm. And it took even those 40 years in the wilderness to finally crack that nut and say, look, we've got to go obey or die.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. At Compassion, we spend time on the front lines of Christianity, where faith and action meet, where people just like you are doing amazing things for the kingdom. You're invited to jump on board. Come with us as we discover the work of God in the most amazing and unlikely places. I'm Frank Montenegro, and today we're bringing you the next installment of a series called Chasing the Word, where Bram and his wife Sandy are taking a look at the historical mission of the Christian Church. Here's Bram and Sandy to start things off.
Sandy, welcome back to the studio for Chapter 7 of this Chasing the Word series in the Book of Acts.
Hi, it's good to be back.
Every week we've been plowing our way through these incredible chapters of the church at work spreading the gospel through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. And that outermost part is beginning in these chapters. Mm-hmm. Why do we follow this story and why are we bringing it to our Compassion Radio listeners now? Because I believe that all of this activity, all of this community, all of this crisis and opportunity is something that is reliving itself full bore in the 21st century. And so it has an immediacy to me and to you because we've been these places. We've seen where God's at work and building his people and taking on new challenges. And finally, I think in this century, reaching that last mile.
That's an incredible thought. We've seen some pretty amazing things happening throughout the course of the first six chapters of Acts. And chapter 7 does not disappoint in that sense either.
They break these chapters in odd places based on our modern sensibilities, but the writers and the editors of the translations that happened over time selected these spots because they believed that it was important that they compartmentalize the story into chunks that people could then copy and carry with them. And that tradition of where those breaks happen, where the verses were marked in the text, has come with that history and it comes to us today. But we have to understand, too, these letters were written as narrative stories. They were not broken up in little parcels of single verses or by chapters at the time. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to misinterpret what the intent of the author was simply because somebody came along the line later and carved it up into edible-sized chunks. Mm-hmm. And we have to remember that, especially as we go into this chapter, chapter 7, because Stephen is now going to be on trial. And the very first verse of this chapter says, "Now the high priest asks Stephen, are these charges true?"
Well, I like that because coming into this chapter, we've just heard all of these false accusations from chapter 6, and now the high priest is coming back and saying, okay, you've heard it, we've heard it, is this true? And I love the next part because Stephen doesn't even answer that question.
Ignores the false question on a false premise because the false accusations were not necessarily false. They were misattributions. So many things that Stephen absolutely said that Jesus said, he says, quoting Jesus.
Well, even misinterpretations of what was being said. We've all been in situations where our own words have been used against us.
Yeah.
That's what is happening to Stephen right here in this part, half-truth, what they repeated, and made it sound like it was a terrible thing. Like he's going to destroy the temple. He's going to completely destroy everything that Moses taught us. So they're making it sound a lot worse than what actually happened.
They're making it sound like something it's not.
Right.
Now, of course, these days, we know that one of the greatest threats to the propagation of the gospel and people that are growing in their faith is the twisting of the word or the absence of the complete word, which informs and counsels itself. So we know that one of the reasons why we've been so adamant about this project of getting Bibles into China is that because there are so many new places in that massive country of more than a billion, almost a billion and a half people, where the gospel is now going for the very first time, that when only a part of the gospel gets there and then gets misinterpreted by somebody who is earnest but is not grounded in the entire narrative from creation to redemption, that strange cultic things can evolve out of that. And That's why our partners like Bibles for the World and other organizations are busy making sure that the best scholarship, the best translations, the best idiomatic expression of those gospel stories is getting into the hands of these new believers so they get it.
Right.
And it's important for us to keep on that for the years to come, because it's going to be a major focus of the last part of this century to make sure that every single people group on this planet has a reliable and honest witness in the scriptures of written word, in the orality of the spoken word, mm-hmm. and in consistent teaching that brings the entire body of Christ together in the essentials, united together in Christ. So that's what we're committed to as Compassion Radio as well. That's why we mm-hmm. do our year-end Bible projects for China. It's why we have many other mid-year projects that allow people to step into that very important and essential function of the modern church, getting the word to the hands of those who are hungry for it.
Yeah, it is an important work that's being done.
So let's jump into that word right now. Now, again, at the beginning of chapter 7, Stephen is being accused of some horrible things in the minds of those who are accusing mm-hmm. him.
I was going to say, but
now,
are they?
The thing that he's being quoted as having said, claiming it for himself, is not true, and he ignores mm-hmm. that. Jesus did, in fact, claim, "If you break down this temple, if you destroy it, I will raise it up again in 3 days." And John makes it very clear, he was saying that about his own body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say that because Pentecost has now happened, the Holy Spirit's been unleashed on individuals, and individuals are praying the Holy Spirit to come upon others as an expression of their commitment of willingness to follow Jesus all the way till death in this life, is a whole new kind of life for those who are faithful disciples of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, it is unique how that power is manifested, and it is a new day. There are all kinds of new possibilities now because the Holy Spirit's been unleashed. So let's talk about what Stephen actually did to answer the accusers that he had.
Well, Stephen launches into a history of the Jewish culture, of the Israelites.
Yeah.
He goes back to the very beginning of it. And
because he's being
about
accused by Jews.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he talks about Abraham, their common ancestor. Before God even spoke to him, where Abraham was, God appears to him and calls him out, tells him to go on a journey. I'm going to take you to a land that you will inhabit, that your children will inhabit. It will be your heritage. Of course, we know the story that Abraham was confused by this because he was very old and his wife was very old and they had no children. But Stephen goes into this whole story about how they left where they had begun and they went to another place and God moved them to Israel just by promise and then take them out. And there's just all of this sojourn that he's gone on.
The impression I get that Stephen's talking about the story is that when he's talking to these religious authorities and their sense of rootedness, this is our promised land. They think about themselves being rooted and having the truth and being the big oak tree in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
That's what their perspective is in that moment of history. Stephen's saying, underneath your feet, the ground was shifting constantly.
Right.
The only constant is not this place. It's the person of God himself interacting with and being with you in everything. Because that journey took them out of the promised land down to Egypt.
Right.
They sojourned there for hundreds of years, and eventually it became something that was so codependent that they didn't realize that they had become slaves over time, and yet complained about the working conditions and wanted liberation, but then didn't want to leave because they lost all of their security. And all of that double-mindedness being tossed by the wind back and forth was the story of Israel for another few hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
And it took even those 40 years in the wilderness to finally crack that nut and say, look, we've got to go obey or die. The last act of Moses was to pass the baton to Joshua and say, you're the ones that take him in.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go up on this mountain and pray for you and watch all of this unfold. And we know that that was the last thing that Moses did, was to go up Mount Nebo and disappear forever from our history books. Other scriptures say that God buried him somewhere himself on that mountain, not making it clear to us where that might be. So it's a great mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things that makes the people of Israel, those Jewish leaders at that time, feel like we own this place. We own this place. And of course, we know that it's God that owns everything, including our past, including our present, including our future. And that's what Stephen is addressing.
You're listening to Compassion Radio. Coming up next, more biblical insight on the historical mission of the Christian Church.
It was Desmond Tutu who said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." Friends, this is Bram Floria, and I'd like to tell you about a wonderful opportunity for you to help some of the most at-risk people in the world, children and infants. To bring them out of the darkness of destitution and abandonment and into the hope of a bright future and a better life. It's Store of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's seen thousands adopted, fostered, or even reclaimed by family members who had originally abandoned them. The good news is that there are already two very successful baby houses in existence, and our Compassion Radio partners like you had a big part in making those happen in the past. But we all know that babies don't stay babies forever, and that's why Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is seeking again this year to continue the construction of Hope Village. This transformational project will feature a large park playground, a school even, a church, a farm, and will eventually be completely self-sustaining. The kind and loving staff at Hope Village will provide each and every child with spiritual training and education, as well as a marketable skill to use when they grow up. Your financial gift will help ensure that each of these little ones has a chance at a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you help. When you give, you'll be changing the eternal destiny of one child or more, desperately in need of hope right now. And here's the best part. For the first time ever, we have a special challenge grant on this project of $4,000 for this month, which means every dollar you give is going to be doubled if you will give now. Please call us at 1-800-868-2478 during business hours Pacific time or go to CompassionRadio.com to give right away. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. And our mailing address again is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, just text the word KIDS to 53445. That's the word KIDS, K-I-D-S, to 53445. Thank you again for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these children and infants in South Africa through the 2019 Compassion Radio Door of Hope Project. God bless you.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
And of course, we know that it's God that owns everything, including our past, including our present, including our future. And that's what Stephen is addressing.
Well, he goes through the whole history and talks about the patriarchs bringing it all around then to Moses, as you were saying, and how Moses then comes and leads them out of Egypt into the Promised Land after the 40 years of wandering around. Stephen is showing them how God continued to walk with them throughout their history, and historically how God placed people in various situations and geographic locations that made it possible for them to continue as a people. He sent Joseph ahead to Egypt, and Joseph became a great leader in Egypt and then brought his family there. And and then, as you said, they became slaves under another Pharaoh that didn't know anything about them. And then Moses shows up, and it's this whole process of God allowing them to fall into their own ways and then someone coming to redeem them. And Stephen brings this around even to the point of talking about their current situation and how the Romans are now oppressing them in that sense. But God, in His great mercy, sent a Redeemer yet again to free them. And it's not the kind of freedom they were looking for.
And the last quote that Stephen makes at the end of his defense of the history of God's promise lived out through the Jewish people was God saying, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is a footstool for my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what place is there for my rest? Was it not my hand that made all these things?" Mm-hmm. This story seems to be half done. It's like he stopped at the point where the Jews built their temples. And now they're standing in front of the latest iteration of the temple while Stephen's being accused of blasphemy. Mm-hmm. What he's saying is, the thing that you're accusing me of is the thing that Jesus said, I am that temple. And the thing that seems to anchor you to the ground of the Holy Land, this temple in Jerusalem, is not the thing that will last. But he's saying that Jesus will. So the next thing he says is no longer about the history of Israel. He addresses the problem right in front of them. And he says, "You stiff-necked and stubborn people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are always actively resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did." This is not a good development for Stephen's prospects in the world, because he is putting his neck literally on the chopping block.
Absolutely.
"Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute?" he asked them. "They killed those who proclaimed beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You who received the law as ordained and delivered to you by the angels, and yet you did not obey it. What happens next?
Well, they were enraged by what they heard.
It's a bloodthirst rage.
Yes, I think it was blind. They just had no control even of their rage. It was a scary situation, probably to watch. Yeah. Even from the outside.
It's important to remember, too, from the last couple of chapters, we know that there had been kind of a honeymoon time in Jerusalem. It had been sweet. The Holy Spirit had been overflowing from the church and blessing people, and miracles are happening. Just being around the apostles, the shadow of their presence was enough for people's faith to bring healing. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing time. And now suddenly this rage comes back. It's like the devil's been waiting to finally pull the trigger, so to speak, and just make it happen, get rid of these people once and for all.
Looking for a way to do it.
Now, of course, we have the benefit of history. We know that God used this to create what we now know as the Great Diaspora, spreading the church amongst all the nations. But this is not a pretty thing. This is not God sitting down with the people in the church and saying, okay, this is what I need you to do.
Right.
I need you to sell off everything quickly because I'm going to run you out into the world and you're going to become the apostles of new peoples and learn new languages and move away from here forever. Right. Many of them did end up that way.
Right, and I think it's a lesson for us even in our day and time.
Mm-hmm.
We need to listen for God's voice closely to know when he's telling us to move and to stay and to sit and rest and all of those things. We don't want to be in a position that God has to literally push us out of the nest. Tragically, I think those things happen. Those ways get us to where we need to go at times when we're not expecting to go somewhere or even wanting to go somewhere. But I think we could even speak to times when there have been things that we don't have a choice. We have to leave the situation. We have to move from where we are and not wanting to move and then getting to a new place and realizing, hey, God used this to get us to this place of new teaching, of new revelation, or
of
just
new presence,
new experiences. And he uses that to grow us and strengthen us and make us more in his image.
And there are probably plenty of people that we're talking to right now that have gone through some kind of major disruption the past few years. We know that our economy is changing a lot. There's been a kind of a fomenting of fear, a growing xenophobia. These are all expressions of latent uneasiness or change that you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
As Americans especially, we've been taught that we are the arbiters of our own fate. We are the ones that make the decisions. Sense of entitlement to our independence.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't often go that way. Now, for example, our grandparents or our great-grandparents were the ones who went through the Great Depression. No one asked for that. And no one expected that they would suddenly be at the point of losing everything they ever saved for. And when 25 or 30% of all Americans cannot put food on the table anymore, that's a major crisis for any nation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I have seen, even in these days and times, that that is still a living reality for many nations around the world.
Right.
In fact, I was just in Cairo a couple of years ago, and I was asking, why are people out on the streets so late? It's a very, very busy city. And someone said, well, it's unemployment. I said, what does that have to do with it? They have nothing to do. So they aren't tired at the end of a day's work. 90% of the population, especially of young men in the city of Cairo, are unemployed.
Wow.
So you have a whole different social construct. Somehow they're surviving. It means that one person who is producing is literally providing for the needs of 10. That's a lot of burden on any given economic system.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many places around the world where that's true. You have to build a whole different society, and it makes a lot of idle energy. I can't imagine in a place like Austin, Texas, which is a very busy place near where we live, if people didn't work hard hours, they would be idle and be restive. But there are some down hours because people got to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are sleeping through your work days and you have all this energy spent up, Cairo was a great example of what happens when you have all of this untapped potential.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's about to be a great scourge on the church, and they're going to be stripped of everything they have. And they are kind of like those who are idled by all of the persecution around them, like these places we see in the world today, or the Rohingya being chased off into the hinterlands between Myanmar and Bangladesh. Talk about another kind of diaspora. It seems like in our day and age that God is literally chasing many other peoples into the arms of the church because there are vibrant communities of Christians in all parts of the world now that were never there before.
Well, I want to bring it around to even more personal diaspora, if you will. You know, in 2016, you and I did not expect to be sitting where we are right now.
No.
We were comfortable in what we were doing in a lot of ways. We were raising our children. We were part of Compassion Radio. You were producing for the broadcast. And we were living the life we had grown accustomed to.
Yeah. We had about 10 or so years into it.
Mm-hmm. God had different plans. Unfortunately, when Norm became ill and was unable to continue in the capacity that he had been in for so long with Compassion Radio, the board at the time saw that it was still a viable option to continue the ministry and asked you to step in as
not just an,
president
an option,
and host.
It was like the mandate's not finished yet.
Right, right.
The thing that Norm had made the pivot to, an activist involved the ministry, challenging people who were listening to the program to do something every month, not just on behalf of a project, but to change a whole worldview, to change into a kind of person who is chasing after Jesus, like we're talking about in these programs, to find out what he's doing, what he wants done, how we can be part of it. The expectancy of being involved with the most important things in life was what he was going for, and the board at that time really believed that that task was not accomplished yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that that was a kind of diaspora for our family.
It was. It put us on a whole new path.
Yeah. So I think there are other kinds of diasporas that happen in our lives. It didn't uproot us from where we were living. We're still able to live in the same place, which is great for us because we enjoy it. But it did uproot us.
It did.
In the way we had been living. And I think that's a thing that maybe our listeners might relate to a little more closely than being persecuted the way some of the people that we were talking about overseas, especially. Mm-hmm. Those things in our lives are important to note, that God will use those things to get us out of a situation or get us out of a comfort zone and bring us to a place of ministry that he's been calling us to.
And to expect that he will. I mean, we talk a lot about expectancy on this program because we have seen that when we ask God what he wants to show us about something, not just about what's going on, but what is coming, he has a way of nudging us in an expectant way. We start looking farther beyond just our immediate circumstances, saying, hey, this is part of a bigger picture here. And God is not unwilling to let us know. Mm-hmm. In fact, we know in James 1, he says, if any man lacks wisdom, just let him ask of God. And that word wisdom is not just about being wise and helping decide difficult things, but being discerning, being aware, seeing behind the curtain a bit. That's the kind of thing that God promises he's willing to make available to us if we just ask. And we are certainly asking for a lot of that with Compassion Radio right now. And we pray that over our people. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this program, know you're being prayed for and that we're expecting God to speak to you, not just through what we say, but through what he wants to say directly to you and through his word so that it would resonate with you, that you would get excited about what God has for you and what God has for you in him.
And to challenge you to look into the word yourself and see what it says. And ask him to interpret it through his spirit, into your heart, into your mind. What is it that he wants you to know through the scripture that you're reading?
And to invite someone you trust into that mix, too. That's what we've been doing with our little exercise here. And we want to encourage people, every program we do these programs, to focus on opportunities to connect with other believers. Maybe it's a spouse or a close friend or somebody you want to get to know, saying, let's just spend time talking about this book, actually reading it together. Often we're afraid to explore the word together and see what God wants to tell us because we assume that we have to go to somebody else who is trained in order to understand any of it. Mm-hmm. Now, I am convinced that we have to grow and learn and be well instructed for sure. We don't want to be totally ignorant or arrogant in our pursuit of what we think is the truth. At the same time, we have a God who loves us and he is transparent with us. And he is more than willing, if we just ask, to make himself known to us. So that's our challenge to you. And I want to come back and see what happens when people are that transparent with God, like we see Stephen in front of his accusers, on the next time we do this program called Chasing the Word. We'll find out what the consequences are on that next program.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word Compassion to 53445. That's the word Compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.